In the history of humanity, there have been many games, but only one can claim the title of the greatest of all. That game is hockey! Welcome to the ultimate celebration of that game, the Magic Number 9 Hockey Broadcast. I am your host, John Madden, and every week we will bring you the definitive word on this most sacred, most awesome, most electric of all human endeavors. Now, it's face-off time! Welcome once again to the Magic Number 9 Hockey Broadcast. I'm John Madden. It is Monday. There's things happening as we speak because we're starting a little late today. Our guest's canceled because his car died. These things happen. It's a real-world show. It's a real-world game. It's real-world people. So we'll have the lovely and talented, relatively new neophyte, but the lady's perspective coming up later on our guest section with an interview. Our guest will be Jody Yvette, again. Let's get right to it. We'll be back with our recap.
Law-abiding citizens use guns to defend themselves against criminals 2.5 million times every year, or about 6,850 times a day. This means that each year, firearms are used more than 60 times more often to protect the lives of honest citizens rather than to take their lives. Locking up firearms can cost lives during a life-threatening situation. In California last year, two children died, pitchforked to death by a crazed drug addict because a resident of the home could not access the household firearms in time. The guns were locked up in deference to California state law. Guns are the great equalizer for women. As many as 200,000 women use a gun every year to defend themselves against sexual abuse. Law-abiding gun owners are a good form of crime control. Citizens shoot and kill at least twice as many criminals as police do every year.
This message brought to you by the Gun Owners Foundation.
Did you see that? I saw that. I don't know if you saw it, but I know I saw it. Well, it's time now for the Magic Number 9 Hockey Broadcast Recap of the Week. Let's find out what happened and what happened. That's right, we're back. It's a recap. Holy cow, the first round is over. The second has begun. Results of the first round. Kings oust Vancouver. Luongo's job in peril suggests that he will accept a trade to another team if one comes up. 4-1, LA Kings stomp their guts out. St. Louis kills the Sharks 4-1. We already talked about that little debacle. Phoenix upset. Crushes Chicago 4-2. Nashville eliminates Detroit 4-1. Enough said. The Rangers, the filthy New York scum, pull a 7-game win, 4-3, beat Ottawa, and move on to face the Capitals, who beat the Boston Bruins, defending Stanley Cup champions. First round exit 4-3. Washington. The Devils take out the retreads from Florida 4-3. Philadelphia stomps Crosby till he cries like a little girl, and we're all very happy about that. I was even more happy at how pissed Malkin was. Ha ha, screw you, Pittsburgh. Go Flyers. That's all I could say. Go Flyers. Can't have the Red Wings. I can have the Red Wings of the East, which is basically the Flyers. So that's what's happened in the first round. Now we're on to the second round. Oh my, what a debut. Well, the Kings beat the St. Louis Blues thanks to Jonathan Quick. It's got to be said. It's Quick. It's Jonathan Quick. He's freakish. He's phenomenal. He is, if it comes down to a goalie battle, Quick is the man. And he has the best name ever for goalie anyway. Quick? Jonathan Quick? That's like a forward being called, you know, Slapshot. I don't know. Yeah, bad shtick. Anyways, Nashville is down 2-0 against the Desert Dog Shitters. Holy cow, Phoenix, I gotta say it. I like the cut of your jib. You're playing good, hard, scrappy hockey. And Phoenix, you got a prime line. You got a line with a name, and I can't tell you how much the mystical power of a named line can do for you. I don't know why San Jose didn't put Winnick, Winchester, and Wingles on a line and call it the win line, because, you know, are they all mediocre? Yeah, is it a bad line? Maybe, but just force them to be in the chemistry and you can make something happen. You never know. Don't underestimate the power of naming things. This is a mystical sport. Nonetheless, Phoenix is up 2-0 on the otherwise indomitable Mr. Rene and his Nashville Predators. First of all, Phoenix's goaltending is outrageous. Mr. Smith, you are to be saluted. Mr. Rennie, better watch out, because it's called the Prime Line, and apparently it's got a prime piece of your ass. Hansel, Verbottom, Whitney, doing it to it. Whitney gets the game winner in game one. Amazing. They are absolutely out-battling Nashville. They're going to win. My money isn't solidly on Phoenix. If they continue playing this way, they are going to take Nashville to the cleaners. It's too early to say with LA and St. Louis. The first game, you don't know how the other team's going to respond. That being said, on to Washington and the Rangers, who, as we speak, are in the second period. Washington up 2-1. Rangers won the first one, 3-1. They played steady. They played patient. They didn't play very physical. They waited out the Capitals, and then when the dam broke, oh boy, did it break. Chris Kreider opened that can of whoop-ass on Washington, and Mr. Holtby, I have watched some amazing saves tonight. I did not see so much in the first game. So if you get your stuff together and Mr. Ovechkin actually, shows up and puts in some work, Capitals could do this. They're down 1-0 in the series. New Jersey versus Philadelphia. Well, you knew who was going to take this one. But it was close. It was close because of two people. Zach Parise and the inevitable Martin Brodeur. The winningest goalie in history. The Wayne Gretzky of goalies. More shutouts, more wins than anybody. He's ridiculous. The guy's a mountain. He's still a mountain. He's like 40-something years old. The guy's going nowhere, and he's an old-school stand-up goalie. He doesn't do butterfly. He doesn't flop around. He just takes it like a man, and you don't get to score a lot against him. But Philadelphia does, and the name on that boilerplate should be Danny Briere, because Danny Briere scored the game-winner in overtime and had it waved off, turned around, came back, scored the game-winner again. Danny Briere, I have always loved this guy. He is the absolute... If he stood in the crease, he would be Thomas Holmstrom. As it is, he stands aside to the crease. But this series, I have seen him open up his game. The game-winning shot came at the top of the circle. Usually, Briere is known for a guy who stands on the side of the net, waits for deflections, or digs out, ricochets, rebounds, and whatnot, and is a deadly at a high-angle shot. But I saw him do a lot more movement in his shots. He was all over the ice. It was ridiculous. The Devils' offense basically had Zach Parise chasing every puck like a dog on a hubcap, and everybody else sort of... They weren't putting in the kind of work they needed to beat a team as deep as Philadelphia, which is this week's team profile, and that'll be coming up in a little bit. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back.
When is it okay to eat with your hands? In a formal setting, there's a short list of foods that are okay to get hands-on with. Asparagus is okay so long as it isn't covered in sauce. Bacon's fine so long as it isn't so greasy it would soil your delicate fingers, and it's almost expected that you pick up a sandwich, unless, of course, it's open-faced, exceedingly stacked, or covered in some sort of dipping sauce. You probably won't find corn on the cob, chips, french fries, fried chicken, or hamburgers in a formal setting, but if you do, rest assured they are all finger foods. You can also pick up and eat artichokes, bread, cookies, hors d'oeuvres, and small fruit on the stem virtually worry-free, but remember, bread must always be broken, never cut.
Hockey is a game of far more than just teams, players, and scores and stats. It is a game of elegance, beauty, toughness, persistence, grit, and character. Each week, we will examine a different aspect of the game. And we are back. It is time to discuss an aspect of the game and get a little big picture view going on here. I guess this week just makes me want to talk about toughness, about individual toughness. We've seen some ugly things this playoffs, a lot of particularly in the coming from the Nashville Predators. Shea Weber smashing Zetterberg's head. There's been some assassination hits by San Jose. Pietrangelo is out versus LA. There's an old saying that says, if you're not playing hurt by the time you go into the playoffs, you haven't been playing. So you have physical toughness and you have mental toughness. Right now, I think the toughest team on the ice, pretty much the Philadelphia Flyers. They have been through hell and back. I don't even know how many penalties they got in some of those games with Penguins. And they are deep. They have constantly... Chris Pronger, supposedly their star D-man, star player guy, has been out. His career is pretty much over as far as I can tell. You would think, oh, well, that'll make all the difference. Oh, the lack of experience and all these rookies and Philadelphia's rookies and blah, 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 blah. Well, you know, the same could be said about some of the stuff the Coyotes have pulled on the Nashville Predators right back. You know, it's like bad karma, man. Bad karma. You can't play goon in the playoff and not have it come back to haunt you. The, you know, Phoenix, you know, one particularly vicious slash by Whitney, which was pretty sweet, actually. But nonetheless, a slashing. Some nasty, nasty play. On the other hand, there was another Phoenix guy on the floor with his hands over his mouth, and he's hurting, and, you know, it's rough. It's tough. So we're seeing a lot of physical toughness come out of Phoenix that I don't think is being matched by Nashville. As far as L.A. versus St. Louis, I think L.A. has been playing tougher. I think they've played more physical toughness. I will say, however, that the mental toughness factor is what's really showing up. At this round in the playoffs, we're in the second round now. Things are going to start showing. The paint's going to start coming off the car. And the Devils don't appear to have very much mental toughness, but the Phoenix Coyotes do. They seem to be coming just game to get down every night. Washington. I am stunned that Washington is doing as well as they are against the Rangers. In spite of dropping the first game, we're going into the third period right now of the Washington Rangers game, and they're up 2-1, and they are not giving up an inch. Dale Hunter seems to have found a system that the team has bought into, and Alex Ovechkin almost appears like a guy without a team. Like, he, that kind of, his kind of player just doesn't really have a place in this team. He's playing hardly any minutes at all. And when he does, he goes out and he nails a guy. He uses his physical toughness, which is legendary, and rightfully so. He is, you know, one of the, he's going to go to the Hall of Fame, like it or not. I don't think he's as good a player as we all thought he would be when he started, and he pulled a 50-goal season. I mean, I think he was, I think he's kind of become lost. I don't know that he, he's like a gunslinger from a different day that hasn't really adapted. I don't know where he fits in Dale Hunter's system. The Rangers, very physically tough, very physically tough. Lots of checking, lots of brutal hits that they're trying to lay down. They laid down brutal hits in a series against Ottawa. They concussed Alfredson. They played dirty, filthy New York hockey. They didn't so much in the first game against Washington. I think it was kind of a get-to-know-you, feeler-up-in-the-backseat kind of game. But this game, they have definitely been laying on the body, big time. Nashville, on the other hand, has seemed to have lost their way as far as their physicality. They seem to have tired themselves out against Detroit. It was like they've spent so much energy building up to face the mighty Red Wings that they don't have anything left for Phoenix, which I've seen happen. We've all seen that happen. You know, the teams burn out in the first period. So it's that combination of mental toughness and physical toughness. I think if Nashville really got their heads on, they could make a big difference. You know, they could come and take. I don't think they're lacking in the skills necessary to handle Phoenix, but they're not doing it. They've lost their minds. And LA is, well, they're very sharp. They're very sharp. St. Louis had a mental toughness that comes from Ken Hitchcock's system. The chuck it and change dynamic works really, really well. But if you cannot get past the goalie, it's not a very high-scoring system. It's a much more defensive system. It's designed to destroy the neutral ice attack. So LA really just has to get lucky to beat St. Louis. And that is mental toughness, not physical toughness. That's just patience and mental toughness. And mentally, LA has got the edge on St. Louis because it seems that the individual players are so invested in the underdog status of their club that they're able to get over psychologically on Ken Hitchcock's superlative strategy and tactical excellence. Losing Pietrangelo, that's going to hurt. I think the Blues are relatively deep. We shall see. We shall see. They play right now. 13:58 to go in the first. LA up 1-0 in game two of that series. Guess what? That's almost everything. I will say this. The gold standard, as far as I'm concerned, on physical and mental toughness was set by Mr. Gordie Howe. Mr. Hockey Elbows, a.k.a. Gordy. He played until he was 51 years old. He is the standard of excellence that everyone else gets measured against. 51 years old, he was in the All-Star game assisting on Wayne Gretzky's first ever All-Star game goal. That'll put things in perspective for you. And I might add just one last little thing as far as mental toughness. Mr. Legwand, your little snatch the puck out of the crease shit in first game in the games against Detroit and take it back to the puck, you little smuggling, cheating scumbag. I guess it didn't work out so well when you tried to steal the puck off the top of the netting in the goal and toss it over, do a little hand pass to get your boys out of trouble, because that's what got the goal. See, that's what I'm talking about. Karma is a bitch if you have bad karma. If you have good karma, hey, hey, hey. But you don't, Legwand. You don't. You're a bum, you cheating bastard. And you know what? Physically, you look a lot like John Tortorella. That's all I'm going to say about that. So, toughness. Play to 51, get in the All-Star game, win four cups, then you're tough. But to realize what it takes to drag your ass out of bed and go play hockey every day and put your body through that. Forget the physical. We're into a mental toughness that carries that overrules anything the body. The body should be dead by 42, pretty much. Hey, until 1900, the average life expectancy worldwide was 40 years old. Gordie Howe played to 51. How'd he do that? It's the head. Ultimately, the head is going to beat the body. It will. It always has. It always will. And that's why I'm picking Philadelphia, Washington, Phoenix, and I'm not picking anybody in L.A. or St. Louis yet. That is too close. That is too close. And I didn't think it would be. Anyways, I'm rambling. We'll be back. Bye.
How many times has this happened to you?
Aw, man, this is getting really close, man. If only we had something to just take it over the top.
Damn, why don't we have a fucking tambourine, man? Damn! Damn!
Well, never again. Finally, we can put the demanding crowds to rest. There is now a store that will take care of every tambourine need. People, please. We urge mellowness. Do not rush the store. Finally, after years of unanswered demand, the tambourine bandwagon has hit town and it's going to be huge. From the piccolo tambourine all the way down to the mighty and huge bass tambourine. We have them all. Worry no more. Don't believe us? It all seemed too good to be true? Listen to the people, man.
Amazing. A whole store? Just tambourines?
Well, you know, graduations and birthdays are so hard sometimes. And I think this'll get me through at least a couple of years. Thank God I come from a small family.
Man, that shit was deep, man. I got all my girls' tambourines. I roll around now, it sounds like Santa Claus coming to town.
I tell you, the reception we've been getting here in town has been stupendous. So come on down while the tambourines are fresh and hot and shake your way to a whole new attitude. We're located at the corner of 9th and Pleasant in beautiful Boulder, Colorado, but we ship to anywhere in the world. So no matter where you are, when you hear this interweb commercial, you may contact us and we can get you a new tambourine just as fast as FedEx will let us. Remember my name and Google me up. Tambourine Larry. Tambourine Larry. Tambourine Larry!
Well, folks, it's time again for our guest here on Magic Number 9 Hockey Broadcast. This week, it's somebody who knows something about something and is going to tell us all about that thing that they know something about. And welcome back to the Magic Number 9 Hockey Broadcast. I am John Madden, and it is time again for our weekly guest. This is a return visit from our very first guest. It's episode 5. That's sort of a 5th anniversary, right? So let's welcome back Jody Yvette.
Hello, hello, hockey fandom.
Hello back, good looking. All right. So what have you done? What do you know? What's different since last we talked to you?
Oh, my goodness. Well, the Red Wings are out, and that was a huge thing. Huge thing in the household, huge thing for me. I was brought into the hockey fold as a Red Wing fan. So it's quite disappointing that they're out. But I've been watching a few other teams play, and I kind of have a few of my favorites.
All right.
I kind of like the Kings. The Kings are sort of fun to watch, and the Blues are sort of fun to watch. But I don't know what happened to the Blues since they got to this next level here.
It is currently 5-1 in the Blues versus Kings game in favor of the Kings out here on the West Coast. We are in flagrante delicto with the Kings Blues, and 4-0 at the end of the first. St. Louis came back, boom skis. Andy McDonald puts one in, 4-1. Kings
answer
rather quickly.
Yeah.
And we are at 5-1 in the second with 9:35 remaining. But, so which one of these two? You've been watching both of these teams. Who do you think, who is your pick for tonight?
Oh, well, you know, it's really going the way of the Kings, obviously.
Yeah,
but
I wouldn't be picking against a 5-1 score.
I don't know that I would have picked that they would be so dominating in this series before they went in. But St. Louis, Blues just look like a different team.
Well, L.A. has been certainly willing to injure key players like Alex Pietrangelo and tonight Jamie Langenbrunner, who's a very high-level player for the Blues. Pretty much blindside, drove the guy's head into the wall, that sort of bent over, vulnerable, rode him in, put him out. And Pietrangelo had a upper body injury, I'm not sure what, but he's out. And that hurts. A lot of scrums, a lot of Brannigans in the game tonight. St. Louis clearly showing some frustration being down one game, soon to be two, and home. I mean, coming back from losing two at home, odds are not good. Statistically, that's a very, very low percentage of teams that have ever been able to do that.
Right. And I'm also a big Flyers fan. Been enjoying watching Philly.
Buddy, go Flyers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Philadelphia, they won my heart.
You know, I sort of, I don't know why I kind of want to be a Devils fan because, you know, Kevin Smith and I don't know. But I really like the Flyers better. They're a really fun team to watch.
The tale is, to be said in the Devils' favor, they do have 3 Stanley Cups. And in the season since 1993, well, let's put it, 16 out of the last 18 seasons they've made it to the playoffs. They've been at quarters every year, minus one or two if you count the lockout. They've been to the semis 8 times, conference 5 times, and 3 cups. Every time they go, they win. But that last one was in 02-03.
Oh.
So they've been a long time gone.
Yeah.
10 years. And Brodeur is still in net. And what can you say about Brodeur? Oh, they also went. Actually, I take that back. They went. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's the Flyers. I'm misreading my statistics. The Capitals. Well, the Blues have never even been to the finals. They made it to the semis 5 times. The last time was in 01-02.
And the Kings have been once, right?
The Kings have made it to the finals once in 1993, and then they went bankrupt. They lost that cup to the Montreal Canadiens. They've only been 7 times to the quarterfinals since 92-93. They made it the semifinals 00-01 and 92-93 when they went to the finals and lost. This is the first time they've been in the finals in 11 years.
Wow.
Yeah, they've only been 7.
Yeah, go Kings.
They've only been 7 times total since their cup run in 92, which failed.
Now, I have to say, the Predators and Coyotes, I couldn't give a royal crap.
Yeah. Coyotes have never been to the finals, neither have the Preds. Semis have been kind to the Preds 2 times. They made it in 11 and they made it in 12, lost both times. Well, they're in the process of losing right now. Coyotes, this is their first time into the second round ever. But
wow.
Then, what do you expect from a team that is, in fact, the Winnipeg Jets, stolen from the people of Winnipeg after being offered a ransom of $4 million to keep them there? The NHL, Gary fucking Bettman, sent them to Phoenix anyway.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he said, no, it's not a big enough market, there's not enough support. But if you can come up with $4 million, you can keep it. Well, they raised the $4 million, the people of Winnipeg, the people of Manitoba, and it was taken away from them anyway. And that is why I am such a huge Jets fan now that they're back. I'm like, go fucking Jets.
Because
that is like
in-your-face
Batman. Screw you, you mafia bastard. You know, that's just, I just do not like that guy. I do not like his administration, and I do not like the decisions. It is just not. It's profit over the game, man. It's money over the game.
Well,
and that's just
I'm
not
sure
okay.
He's pretty happy right now with a bunch of teams outside the original six. Looks like we have a fight going on.
Yeah, Dustin Brown came in and tried to broadside a Blues, and another Blues took exception and got up on top of him and beat his ass on the ground. 70s style. It was a whooping, but they should have dropped their gloves. That's sleazy not doing that. You got to drop your gloves when you're going in for the freaking discipline beatdown.
So I guess Brian Boyle being back didn't help the Rangers much.
Oh, tonight. Yeah, he was a dynamic force on the boards. He just didn't have anybody to pass to, and every time he did, the Capitals just reversed the puck. They just would not let the Rangers get organized in tonight's game. They just wouldn't let them get organized. The Capitals just dogged them all the time. They were doing the, they were chasing the iced pucks. And that's really the standard, I think, of excellence. It's like you're chasing something so seemingly meaningless and winning some of them. And either way, when the guy would get it, they were up. They just outworked them.
Yeah.
Straight up outworked them tonight. The Capitals did over the Rangers. But Boyle being back, yeah, it made a difference. Just not enough to win.
Guess not.
Ovechkin didn't play until the third period, practically. And then when he did, he came in, scored the game winner, and then laid on a whole bunch of good hits, really on the right people, just to put them in their place.
Nice.
Put Callahan on his ass right off the bat. Captain Callahan got crushed by Captain Ovechkin. It was a statement. You know, there's a lot of communication happening in a game.
So what does it look like to you now? Who do you think is going to be in the final? The Stanley.
Well, if LA wins tonight, and I don't know how they can't. St. Louis, I think, has met their match. I think the offense, and more importantly, the penalty killing of LA. Their penalty kill has shut down the number one avenue of scoring for the Blues have had, which is a power play that's just been dynamic. Well, the LA Kings just figured out how to break that power play, and when you take
they
that
sure
away
have.
From their offense, they don't really have much else going on. They're not packed with a bunch of offensive powerhouses. I mean, you know, Perron is okay, and Backus is good in front of the net, and, you know, McDonald's a good classic little guy scorer, very similar to a Yuri Hudler type. Wrestled with a lot of injuries. Really got Hart. Ugly as hell, too. I mean, he's a really hockey-looking dude. I mean, he's pretty awesome, really. I've come to really appreciate him in a new way. His toughness. He took an assassination hit by San Jose and, like, lived. And he's not a big guy.
Well,
yeah,
so the
penalty,
Kings win.
The
they will go on
place, the Kings
to
are beat
play
them.
The winner of the Devils Flyers?
No.
Nope.
Nashville. Phoenix.
Oh.
So it looks like it's going to be Phoenix, LA. It's going to be a duel in the desert. You heard it here first. Duel in the desert. Or Desert Storm. It'll be a desert brouhaha.
A desert ice storm.
Debacle in the desert. You got any, Chris?
What kind of desert
battle will it be?
Downtown Heat.
Downtown Heat in the desert. It'll be the boys from LA and the boys from the toilet bowl that is Mesa, Tempe, Phoenix, whatever. Well, it just sits in a valley and it's covered in smog, so that's the way she goes. Oh my goodness. Close, but not close enough. Just watching a disastrous failed shot by St. Louis. And there's old Andy McDonald coming on the ice, number 10, looking like somebody just, I don't know, starved a dog and put a hockey uniform on him. he's pretty awesome. But I don't think you can build a – I've never believed in diva players or star player teams. I believe in a solid third and fourth line is really what determines whether you're great or just good.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to the depth, I don't know. It looks like LA's got them because they're producing. And same thing with Phoenix. Phoenix versus the Preds. It's like they got that prime line, and you look at their third and fourth lines, they're matching up real nice, you know? And yeah. I never saw, really didn't see that coming from Phoenix. Dave Tippett, man, hell of a coach, I'll say that. Guy won the Jack Adams, as I recall, a couple of years ago.
Well, I think Philly's going to go all the way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Philly for sure. They are deep. They are mentally tough as hell. They have a lot of rookie blood. They have that brilliant combination of youth and cunning.
Right. Energy and
experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've really got the formula. And Laviolette can outcoach you simply because he has trained all his guys to a single, like, I don't know. There seems to be a very uniform style in place, and he changes up lines all the time. He's like Babcock. He's a juggler. The difference is that his lines respond better than Babcock's have, as far as being juggled. There's for all the vaunted depth of Detroit, we didn't really have it this year once we lost Helm. He really tied down the back half of the lines. And, yeah, he really hurt losing him. You can't replace that kind of speed with Thomas Holmstrom's bare ability to skate. He's not fast, and he's certainly not graceful. But Laviolette has the luxury of being able to really work four lines. There's been talk of putting Briere as the center of the third line, moving him down so that they've got even more firepower in the back six. I don't see how Philadelphia is not going to beat New Jersey Devils. Like,
right.
I mean, Brodeur notwithstanding.
Yeah.
So far, these playoffs have been fantastic offenses beating fantastic goalies and really good goalies beating mediocre offenses. Like Rennie beating the Red Wings, painful as it may be to say. The offense just did not get it done. They had the opportunities, and they did not close the deals. You know, there's no reason that some of the shots that, well, just the what Franzen comes to mind. There was a Datsyuk that comes to mind. There was the breakaway by, was it Brunstrom? I don't even remember, but there were opportunities there that were not capitalized on. And Phoenix has just been willing to capitalize capitalize the hell out of their opportunities. And really, they've got a named line, and that's kind of magical. So I see Phoenix taking Nashville to the cleaners. They're already up two games. I don't see that being turned around. Yeah. Nashville may win one at home. Could be five games. But right now, they're just working the hell out of them. And Nashville looks tired and uncoordinated. So... And maybe that's why they've never been to the finals.
Capitals Rangers are now 1-1, so I guess it's anybody.
Capitals lost the first game to the Bruins and came back and won. Capitals seem to like to come back from behind. I'm not sure why. In their 38 years, they've been 12 times to the quarters since 93. They've been to the semifinals, second round anyway, four times. That'd be 93, 94, 97, 98, 8, 9, and 10, 11. And, of course, they were annihilated in 97-98 when they made it through to the finals and faced the Red Wings. So thank you for losing to us so that we could become the Red Wings again and end the Dead Wings period there, Capital. So I guess I owe you this one. I certainly prefer you to the original six scumbags, the Rangers, who have four Stanley Cups, one conference title, two President's Trophies, seven division championships. Last time they were in the finals was 96-97. Well, I should say the conference against the Flyers. They lost. The Flyers, of course, went on to lose to us in the Stanley Cup that year. But in 93, they won the Stanley Cup. That was the last time. They are not a stellar club and never have been. They're more of a tourist attraction, I think, than a real hockey team. Even now, they're playing very straight ahead, cycling shots from the slot as their main attack style. They don't do a lot of high angle work. They're getting very physical, you know, thuggish, as you would expect. But I really think they can be shut down by the Capitals. Capitals are working harder than they are right now. And what I saw tonight is that Dale Hunter may be just the man to put that loudmouth shit-talking Tortorella in his place. Although he has been nominated for the Jack Adams this year, so, you know. Although I think they really ought to nominate Henrik Lundqvist because he's really the reason they're there. Great goalie versus great offense. So far, great offense has won every time in the playoffs so far. So
only a couple of weeks left, huh?
Oh, no. It goes on as long as it has to. The Stanley Cup will be sometime. You know what? It isn't about the next game or the next week. It's just about the next shift. And our next segment. This is the Magic Number 9 Hockey Broadcast. I am John Madden. Thank you for being our guest again, Ms. Jody.
Thank you
for
having me. We
will be talking with you further on the games coming up. But first, we're off to the team profile, and I'm off to have a break.
Today is the day, the first day of the rest of your life, and you need to get those chakras in line, dude. Sammy's Ice Phoenix Store and Mystical Oracle Smoke Shop and Chakra Alignment Center is here for you, man. Located on a primo ley line in Berkeley, Sammy's has all the supplies you need to straighten out your whole vibe. incense, salvia, pipes, papers, crystals, elemental wizards, Rastafarians, bongs, cans, paper clips, mats, ashtrays, lighters, matches, mugs, cups, shot glasses, stickers. So Sammy's Ice Phoenix store, Mystical Oracle Smoke Shop and Chakra Place in Berkeley and on Googly Dudes. Discount for hot chicks.
Magic number 9 hockey broadcast is unparalleled in its depth and in its insights into the teams of the NHL. This is Team Profile. Welcome back. It is time for the Team Profile. My second favorite team, I have to say, they feel like the Red Wings of the Eastern Conference, and that is the Philadelphia Flyers. And let me give you a quick bit of numbers here on the Philadelphia Flyers. 2 Stanley Cups. They are a legit team. They are 2nd-6. They joined the league in 1967. They have 8 conference cups, 16 division titles, and since 1992-93, every single year for 14 years, they've been in the quarterfinals. They've been in the quarters. They've entered the playoffs for 14 years in a row. That's impressive. That's not counting the lockout. Semis, they've made it 10 times. Conference, they've made it 6 times, and they've gone to the cup and lost 2 times, once against the Red Wings, once against the Blackhawks. That's out of a total trips to the cup. 4 times. Of course, they won back-to-back cups in the 70s with the Broad Street Bullies, and we will never forget them for lowering the game to an all-time low as far as the fighting and the brutality of people like Dave Schultz and Red Kelly, and my God, those guys were monsters. That being said, it's a different day, it's a different game, and the Flyers have grit, the Flyers have determination, they have mental and physical toughness, and they are really, actually, I think they're even more mentally tough than they are physically tough. Really. I'm serious. Check this out. Let's go over their players. All right, on the front line, Blair Betts injured reserve, Ian Lapierre injured. All right, so they're not to be talked about. Danny Briere, fantastic. Quebecois, number 48, 5'10", 34 years old. Guy is a side net specialist. He has added movement to his game like he did not have previously. He used to be sort of a stand-in-the-crease kind of Holmstrom guy. I love this dude. He is so tough. He is so scrappy. He is just pure hockey, and what a mental focus. To have an overtime game winner waved off and then to come back and win it anyway, that speaks miles. Matthew Ford, West Hills, California, 6'1", 27 years old. Not a huge contribution. Claude Giroux, on the other hand, from Hearst, Ontario, Canada, number 28. This guy practically beat the Penguins on his own. This guy he's the man. He is the man. Claude Giroux is the man. This guy is the best player, hands down, in the NHL right now. I know, Datsyuk, I know, Stamkos, I know. Where are those guys? Enough said. Scott Hartnell, the clown prince of the NHL. He is a throwback to the Broad Street Bullies. He plays ugly. He plays sloppy. He plays the kind of annoying ass, like almost Sean Avery-esque creepy hockey. But he does all the little things that help him win. He is a hell of a player, and he's sort of the spiritual center of the Flyers, I think. Ben Holmstrom, no relation, from Colorado Springs. Not so much of a contribution. Jaromir Jagr, on the other hand, the 40-year-old whiz kid who used to be Mario Lemieux's right hand, he has had an effect. Every time this guy hits the ice, your heads go up. You got to watch out for this guy. He's Jaromir Jagr. He's going to the Hall of Fame. You know this. He's got cups. He's Jaromir Jagr. Come on. Time again, we haven't seen much of Matt Reed. Now, I'm going to get to him in a minute. Let's go over Tom Sestito. Little known, not a huge, not on the ice a ton, but 6'5", 24 years old, the guy can come out and make a difference when he needs to. Same thing with Jody Shelley. And to some degree, Maxime Talbot, who is, of course, cup-winning, cup vintage from the Penguins era. He was a pain in the ass playing against him as the Red Wings, and he's probably a pain in the ass again now. But he's a hell of a hockey player. Hell of a hockey player. Then you got Wayne Simmonds, the Ontarian, who is a fantastic front of net and an instigator. He's a tough guy. He takes no shit, and nor should he. Came over from LA in a controversial trade for Richards, which completed the Richards-Carter line reunion out there in LA, which is proving to be very, very tough for St. Louis to handle. Right now, LA is up 2-0 in the first with 1:37 remaining. And then Jacob Voracek, who I believe came up from Florida in one of those trades. Voracek has been phenomenal. Phenomenal. High energy, very scrappy, spends a lot of time digging around the net. Good stuff, good people. And then James Van Riemsdyk, one of the golden boys of so many playoffs hence, and one of the backbones of the older line players in Philadelphia. This guy is grit. He has had a lot of injury problems and has come back. He has tons of sandpaper, this guy. But the real story, I think, for the forwards as far as Philadelphia goes are the rookies. Sean Couturier, Matt Reed, Braden Schenn, Gustafson, Eric Wellwood, Marc-Andre Bourdon. Those guys have been huge. Huge. I cannot stress enough. Matt Reed reminds me of Darren Helm, really. He's fast as hell. He's extremely energetic. These kids have put such a youthful energy into the Flyers that they seem to prefer being down. They seem to like operating from a come-behind situation. I'm serious. They're amazing. Now, Bourdon, of course, is a defenseman, so, you know, whatever, and Grossman is too. Gustafson is as well. But they have rookies all through their organization, and it's sort of the bridge into the defense we're going to talk about in a second here. These kids, I mean, wow. Not only do they inject a youthful fervor, but they give the Flyers a future. And that is something a lot of clubs don't have right now. Now, the defense is a little bit more stable, a little bit more veteran-heavy. Andre Mazaros, who is out right now but due to come back. Chris Pronger's gone, period. Andreas Lilja, ex-Red Wing. Pavel Kubina. Matt Carl. These are veteran dudes. Nicholas Grossman from Dallas. Veteran guys. But there again, there's Bourdon, there's Braden Coburn, there's Erik Gustafson. These dudes, again, you have that old and new fusion, and I think that there can be no doubt that the entire Flyers defense is really led by Kimmo Timonen, who has been fantastic. His slap shot's been dynamite. He's been a scoring. He is something else, this guy. What's it with the Finns this year? This is the year of the Finn, man. Rennie in Nashville and Timonen on, you know, whatever. So, on the defense, you have Marc-Andre Bourdon, number 43, Matt Carl, number 25, Braden Coburn, number 5, Nicholas Grossman, number 8, Erik Gustafson, 26, Pavel Kubina, 13, a very dangerous offensive D-man, Oliver Lauridsen, 56, Andreas Lilja, 6, solid, good at keeping the point, good at keeping the puck in, really, really good at that. Brandon Manning, 23. Andre Mazaros, 41. A much more physical, tough guy player, and they definitely like having him around. He's very much a Flyers kind of guy, but they are suffering from his absence. And Chris Pronger, who's gone, and Kimmo Timonen, number 44. Hardcore, that guy. In the goal, you got a Bobrovsky or you got a Breezgalov. Usually you got a Breezgalov. And let's face it. Give the Russians something to defend, and they will fight to the death to do it. And both these guys have been amazing, in spite of how many giving up. They had a game against Penguins where they each gave up 5 goals. So what? They come back, they win the next one. That Stalingrad stubbornness. And then, of course, backing them up, you have Michael Layton, who is competent, but, you know, definitely third string. As I've said before, Flyers are my pick for winning the East and going to the Cup. I think they have depth like you would not believe. All right, before we leave this profile, I want to stress again the combination of rookie blood and energy with veteran talent and veteran presence. Now, look at the Flyers' lines. These are the basic lines. They shift them around. Laviolette is not shy about moving guys around. Hartnell, Giroux, Jágr. All right, you got your three best veterans on the front line. That's to be expected. But then, Shen Briere Simmons, Talbot Couturier Wellwood, Van Riemsdyk Reed Voracek. That's five out of 12 guys who are rooks. What's up with that? Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. Mixing them in. Van Riemsdyk, the rook, or Van Riemsdyk, the veteran on the fourth line, taking Reed and Voracek. Young, powerful. Reed is fast. Voracek's a digger. That's a great fourth line. Third line, Talbot on one side, tough digger. You got the digger on that side of the ice this time. Couturier, who's been wizard in the faceoff with Wellwood, the speed demon on the other side. So you got a digger on one side and a speed demon on the other side. Second line, Briere in the middle. That forces him to change his game from standing beside the net and opens him up to be used all over the ice. Shen and Simmons go down in the corners and battle. Hartnell and Jágr, same thing on the front line. Battle. Jágr, the man who can thread a puck through 10 guys' legs to the right to the center and set up that evil Giroux shot. That is pretty awesome. When you look at the contrast of who they're playing this round, Parise, Eliash, and Zubras on the front line of the Devils. Okay, that's to be expected. Ponikarovsky, Zajac, Kovalchuk on the second line. Still pretty good. But then, Sikora, Henrique, Clarkson, Carter, Janta, Bernier. Those two lines are not as good as the Flyers' third and fourth. And if you don't have a balanced attack, you're going to have weak spots. You're going to have weak shifts. And if, hey, it only takes one weak shift to lose a game. Anyways, that's the profile for this week. Philadelphia Flyers, still my pick for the Eastern Conference and probably the Stanley Cup, period. We'll be right back.
The following message is from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Did you know millions of Americans with low income can get help buying food? Introducing SNAP. It helps you eat right when money's tight.
Excuse me? Did you say SNAP?
Yes. SNAP is the new name for the federal food stamp program. Lots of people with low income qualify for SNAP, but don't know it. If you qualify, you'll get a card you can use to buy all sorts of food, including fruits and vegetables. It works like a bank card when
a
you check
card? It. A card? Like one you swipe and goes beep?
Yes, that's right. SNAP offers help to all kinds of people.
So wait, can I be eligible if I have a job?
Yes, you can if your income is low.
But I have a car.
No problem, you may still qualify.
But I own my own house. So can I still qualify?
Yes, you might. To learn more about SNAP, call 1-800...
Hold on, let me get my pen.
Okay. Call 1-800-221-5689. That's 1-800-221-5689. SNAP, putting healthy food within reach.
Hey, thanks.
You're welcome.
Coming up next week, Magic Number 9 Hockey Podcast is going to examine what will be and what will be. Welcome back to the Magic Number 9 Hockey Broadcast. I am John Madden, returning for the final segment of today's broadcast. The coming up is Jody Yvette. Thank you for coming back.
Oh, sure. I brought Thompson with me.
There's Thompson.
Hello.
Well, and he's
Born
grabbing onto
already.
That microphone like it's a grappling hook, and he's Batman. That's pretty awesome. Hello.
Say hello in Spanish?
Hello in Spanish.
Hola.
What's that? Hello in Spanish?
Hola.
There you go. That's in my boy.
¿Cómo se llama?
Oh, my name is John, and your name is?
¿Cómo se llama?
Okay. All right. Well, Jody, coming up. Between now and the next time we talk to our beloved audience, we're going to see New Jersey play Philadelphia two times. Or maybe three. No, three. They play again on Sunday. What the heck? Let's just go over the lineup here. Tomorrow, New Jersey at Philadelphia, 4:30 Pacific, 7:30 Eastern. Wednesday, Rangers, Washington, 4:30 p.m., Pacific, 7:30 Eastern. Wednesday, we'll also see Phoenix and Nashville rumble again, I think this time in Nashville. 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific? Yeah, 6 o'clock Pacific. Math. on Thursday, Philly in New Jersey, 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific, and St. Louis, Los Angeles. And that ought to be quite interesting. They're playing in L.A. It's 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. Friday, Phoenix and Nashville, one more time. So, will Phoenix sweep on Friday? Will they win Wednesday and then take it Friday? Will they what?
Will they what?
Will they what? And then Saturday, Rangers, Washington. So that'll be games 3 and 4. Very interesting. Going to be in Washington. Home turf for the Caps. Can the Caps crush them? I hope so. I really do. Sunday, St. Louis versus Los Angeles, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Got to rise and shine to catch that one. It's going to be a good one. Could be the end of St. Louis. They could be, that could be finale. I don't know. Are we going to be talking about L.A. next week, or are we going to be talking about St. Louis? Because Sunday, also, Philly versus the Devils, which... If the Devils win one, they will play that game. If the Devils don't win one, they will not. That game will not happen. The Flyers can eliminate them before Sunday.
What do you think, Devils or Flyers?
I think Flyers. I've said it again and again and again. And I think I've seen... They have a consistency of excellence that must be respected. They are tough. They're mentally fit. And barring like a string of horrific injuries, which is always a possibility here in the Stanley Cup playoffs, Flyers in five. What do you get to say about Caps Rangers?
Well, it's kind of, you know, you could flip a coin at this point, but I mean, you just never know. From game to game, you know, Rangers may readjust. Brian Boyle is, you know, a pretty big talent. He's freaking 6'7". He's huge.
Well, Hal Gill's big for the Predators, and he's not staving their ass either.
Yeah.
He's been almost disappointing, almost. Yeah.
Well, and Ovechkin is pretty amazing, and Chimera. And so, you know, I think it's just a really close call on those two. I mean, if it goes like it did tonight, the Capitals will pull it out, but... The Rangers might come back and adjust.
I'm inclined to agree with that. How many games do you see before Phoenix eliminates Nashville? Or do you think Nashville's going to come back from a 2-0 deficit?
No.
Which I think there's an 82% chance that they won't.
Yeah.
As I recall, those are the odds.
I think that they may do it in five.
Wow.
Yeah.
Confidence in the prime line. All right. Well, way to go, Mr. Wizard.
But I think Capitals, Rangers, they'll probably go a full seven, I bet, yeah.
You think the Rangers will be able to come back and win that many, huh? Well, it could. It could. I believe they went seven games with Boston. That's a lot of mileage to put on when Philadelphia's putting guys away in five.
Yeah.
Philadelphia can get healthy a lot better. Maybe they get a little loose. You know, maybe they sacrifice a little tightness, takes them a period or two to warm up. But once they do, forget it. I mean, it took them a little while to warm up against St. Louis.
Yeah.
Against New Jersey in the first game. But that second period on, Philadelphia just dominated. They were just crushing on them. It was luck that they got.
I can't totally rule out the Blues either. I mean, they may not come back and win the series, but... I think that they will do. They will win a game.
You think
or
they'll
two.
Be better on the road than at home? They're dumping their first two at home. You think they're going to win in L.A.?
Well,
they could. They're
the
good
Red Wings
team.
Do that a lot, you know.
Well, that's true, but they aren't the Red Wings. They're still in the playoffs, unlike the Red Wings.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe
they've just been too good of a team for, you know, this, especially this later half of the regular season to go down that easily, but. I mean, you know, anything could happen. That's one of the reasons why I love this game.
True that.
Right up to the last second.
Tenth of a second, even.
Yeah.
Hair's breadth of an instant. Got to have atomic clocks to measure hockey. Well, anyways, I'm spent.
I am too. Let's call it a night and watch some more hockey.
Yeah, that's right. We got to finish this game. All right, that is it for this week on the Magic Number 9 Hockey Broadcast. I am John Madden.
And I am Jody Yvette.
And we'll see you next week. Face off!
Hey there, I'm Gil Johnston.
And I'm Bobby the Bass Pike.
And I live to fish. Fishing is really three parts, just like this show. You prepare to catch them, and then you prepare and eat them.
It's not hard. Humans have done it since the dawn of time.
Some people even say we came out of the oceans as fish ourselves in the first place. But you can't believe everything you hear. Several of the disciples of Jesus were fishermen, and the Bible is full of fish imagery. Heck, the Christians even use that little fish outline thingy all the time.
So you get that fishing is a pretty big deal. Now that you get that, you can get over to the old radio every Monday night for this show, All Things Fish.
From discussing the best fishing lure designs,
tips on where to get good baits for free yourself,
what time of day to leave the house to hit the best spots at the right time.
We'll hit on all the most important topics you need to know about when you're getting ready to fish. And next up, fishing tactics.
Boarding tips.
The age-old passions of the wader versus trolling debate.
Fly fishing versus real fishing.
And when and how to use a net. But a fishing trip isn't over until you taste your catch. And we've got campfire recipes and more fancy kitchen cooking, too.
And this Tuesday night, we'll have a special in-depth environmental examination of the rainbow trout and its habitats, problems, and prizes. So join me, Gil Johnston.
And me, Bobby the Bass Pike.
In our canoe this Tuesday night on the WGDA Network. And don't forget the tartar sauce and lemon.
Because I already got the bait.
That's all things fish. Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. here on the WGDA Network.
Coming up next on the WGDA Network. Stay tuned for Hockey Dentist. Find out who in the NHL has the most original teeth and the fewest, and travel with our top dentists to examine the teeth of your favorite players.